And with Audrey, with our daughter, it's a there's an interesting question you asked about how do we not turn her off? Because for the most part, it's
Yeah.
like, Audrey, we're meditating, go do something. The thing is that we
It's
will not
osmosis.
exactly.
They
It's
feel it.
we are
They
not
feel
here
it.
to tell her you're going to grow up and be a Buddhist. You can be whatever you want. What it is, though, is that over time she notices, like, hey, my parents are a little different. They don't take certain things so seriously.
Not reactionary.
They're not reactionary. Like she starts to look, she does start to look around and she starts to take note, like, wow, this is an interesting situation I'm in. I'm in a lucky situation here. Now, it's not just that we're Buddhists, it's that we're good people. And that's not to say, that's not limited. But there is something that we have to offer, and just on a vibration level, even though we're saying, Audrey, don't bother us, we're meditating, it's just like, animals like to come up and, sit next to you when you're meditating. And in that same way,
Nala will always sit on her cushion. She'll sit on the couch. If you sit and meditate, she'll want to be
yeah,
right
she wants to
there.
be there next to you
Animals
meditating,
want to, yeah, they like it.
and it's a little bit of a bedtime routine. Actually, for a while when we were doing mandala practice, that ch-ch-ch sound, Audrey would ask if we could do that when she went to bed as a way. It was almost when she was very young, and it was like separating out when it was time to not be there, to help her fall asleep on her own. And so she'd ask us, can you go do mandala practice? Because that sound was very comforting and warm for
Right.
her. And she has a good impression. When we go to the courses, we take her with us. And there's lots of kids. There's the, like, when we go to a national course, all her buddies are there from really around the US and even some friends from around the world. And they're running off and playing their things and having their fun. So it can be a
Yeah.
juggle. It can be, if we
It's
drive to a
special.
course, it's, exhausting, and there's always this delicate balance of being a good parent and a good Buddhist, and because we had already had a solid foundation in being a good Buddhist, we could be good parents and sort of sacrifice the good Buddhist for a while. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but just in terms of
Deep
like
practice.
stepping out of responsibilities, in terms of some responsibilities on like just strictly bureaucratic level of like
Oh, like being in the sangha and doing your
there
time
is
there.
work to do, there's emails to be, there's this, there's that, there's jobs to do, and step out, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do those jobs. Or even you go to a course, and we would, when Audrey was really little, we'd have to take turns, because she didn't have all her buddies and she wasn't old enough to just play with them. And so we would take turns, like one of us was going to be and actually my mom would come sometimes and help out too. Come to the course and just hang out with Audrey and kind of make a vacation out of it. But often it'd be
That's
like,
just part of parenthood. You
yeah,
have to
just,
split it up.
yeah, just, you're a
Or,
parent. You don't get to go, there's a
enjoy
party.
it.
One of you goes to the party and one of you stays home with the
It
daughter. And that's
wasn't,
just what it's what it is. So, but it's the if we're going to ever convince her to be a Buddhist and do the practices, it won't be us telling her to do it. It'll be strictly that she goes, my parents were really happy people. They were good examples, and I kind of want to also be able to, have those practices that they had. That's the full brunt of it, And if she finds some other path that works for her and makes her happy, that's great for her. We're happy,
Yeah, you
And
have
that's
to.
another thing too, I'd say very distinctly Buddhist principles is that our priority is that Audrey's happy. So, which is not necessarily what our culture is asking of her. So like when she got really big into gymnastics, it was like get better and better and stronger and earn more medals. And that was great and we praised her for working hard, but if she was a bad sport about it, she's gonna I don't care what medal she got if she's a bad sport. That's not specific to Buddhism. What is though is the more of the we want her to be happy. So it's not that we want her to succeed. And so if I see something where it's making where she's not okay, she has to learn diligence. She has to learn endurance. She has to learn how to muscle through difficult times, which is one of the reasons we had her in public school. all through elementary school, is because we want her to be faced with the challenges of the everyday. You know, we're not trying to isolate ourselves into this perfect bubble of everybody's happy. You know, we are trying to deal with the real situation and influence the real situation. So when she was getting really wrapped up around gymnastics, to me, it was just so clear that she wasn't happy. So it's very easy for me to just let her know, like, just noticing you started going from 2 days a week to 3 days a week, cause that's the next level. And she has to, you know, train really hard, and just noticing how it's influencing her. And that I want her to have endurance and muscle through and get good at something, but only if there's also some level of genuine happiness. And so I pointed out to her, like, you're not happy. It's just really obvious.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, you don't care about me. And you know, you're not supportive. And then, then she came around and she's going like, yeah, this sucks. And there are aspects of it that she wanted to keep doing, but it wasn't doing it anymore. So she got all her medals and she put them around her neck. And this was all her own volition.
Aww.
And she went to her coach. She showed up to practice. She went to the coach. Aww. And she told the coach and all the students, and she gave them all a hug with her medals on. I don't know how she came up with that. And she said, this is my last day. I'm decided I'm not going to continue.
On the team.
You know, yeah. But then it's different. Then she started getting into horseback riding, and she's like horse crazy, and she's getting good at it. And it's there's consequences. It's horse riding. That's,
you have to deal with the animal.
It's a
another mind of,
you have to deal with an emotional, massive beast that whose only defense is to run at a moment's notice if a bag flaps in the wind, you know, like if a mailbox lid opens, it's the end of the world, and it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's really more about, I think if I have a benchmark of happiness, if I know what happiness genuinely feels like, then I can genuinely gauge it in my daughter. And I think that's let's call that the Buddhist values. Because really the goal is happiness in Buddhism. So so on that relative levels of happiness. And then, you know, again, I keep saying it and going back to it, but happiness includes challenges and diligence and the hard work, and then being on the receiving end of all of that, you know. We gave her timeouts, but it wasn't really punishment. We taught it to her like, this is when she was really little. But basically we have been training her how to get distance from a situation since she was born. So at a really little age, she'd be, and you're like, that's Audrey, you know, go to your room. But it was, again, if it's done right, it's not with any anger. It's just authority and a clear boundary. And it's not, you're in trouble, go sit and do nothing and you're punished. It's, you need some time to think about what you're saying right now or how you're behaving.
Yeah, there's consequences.
And when you're ready, come out and let's talk.
Yeah.
And she come, slam the door, hey you! And then maybe crying and then whatever. And then quiet and then...
I'm sorry.
And then she comes out, she's like, I'm sorry. And with a real reason.
Badly.
With a real reason. Not I'm sorry, let's get this over with. But like, I thought about it, and you know, this is what I've decided, and you're right. I'm sorry. You know, like a real answer.
Right. She felt the emotion, and then she felt her frustration of like, how do I get this? How do I communicate this without, you know, throwing a big fit and like really getting to the bottom of what my need is, and then having to, you know, do I have to succumb to being out of control, and then like, oh, I have a choice. I can think about it next time. It's how you learn. You have to go through the motions and emotions, both. Yeah.
Right. So I'd say now it doesn't necessarily translate into like, let's do this breathing method or something like that. It's more like time management. It's
more like, I think last week, like we were walking, we were at the dog park, and she really wants to go see Hamilton, and her friend will probably go in LA, maybe, it's not even certain, but she was upset about it. She was upset that her friend is seeing something that she wants to see. She's having like, it's not fair feelings. Like, this isn't fair. So we had such a grueling conversation about, like, well, what is it when you see somebody experience joyfulness and that they get to do something that you want to do, and then you feel this, oh, this is, it's not working out for me. So we were trying to share this feeling of, like, if somebody's experiencing it, then that's a good thing, because then you'll be able to experience it someday. Like, we want to multiply those feelings for them, or we want to be happy for them. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be, you know, disgruntled that they're experiencing, because we're not
able. And you want your friends to be happy because they're going to be nice to you.
That too. So kind of just like, and then you're going to be on that other end too, you know, would you want your friend to feel that too, you know, both sides, and putting your feet in other people's shoes, and just putting, you know, putting more of a rounded look upon it, besides, you know, just, what, you know, pity party me, woe is me. But she was really in this woe is me thing. Like, I just want to, we're like, hey, if you want to experience that, like, you can go into that, but it's, you know, you can come out afterwards and we'll talk, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, nobody really, really gets a lot from it. And she labored over it for a while. And then at the end, she was like, okay, I get it. You know, I want to see it too. And I'm glad she's going to see it. And, you know, but it took a lot of this. And it's a child too, you know, it's a child. That's how.
Yeah, she's 12 years old and she's right where she should be. But yeah, we really, in the advice of Lamoli is really not to try to get them to do any kind of meditation practices or anything like that. That a good education is already the foundation of concentration skills. And that's the very first step in, you know, calming and holding, you know, or focusing on your breath, or calming and holding mind. So it's more of an integrated thing where we teach her to gain distance from her emotions, or
that
we want her to be happy. Yeah, it's very simple.
Right, there's the roller coaster. We all experience it, but we don't have to get on the ride. We can go in the middle, and we can watch it go up, we can watch it go down.